Good morning. I'm going to talk to you about our largest campylobacteriosis outbreak. So on May 21st, the Utah Public Health Laboratory notified the Department of Health of a cluster of three campylobacteriosis cases, all with indistinguishable PFGE patterns. Campylobacter jejuni, or C. jejuni, is one of the most common causes of diarrheal bacterial illness in the United States. Many animals, most commonly birds and cattle, are common reservoirs of C. jejuni. Usually the illness occurs in single sporadic cases, and it's typically associated with eating undercooked poultry, drinking raw milk, or drinking contaminated water. The incubation period is 2 to 5 days, but it can range from 1 to 10 days. And usually campylobacteriosis is self-limited. However, rarely post-infectious complications can occur, including Guillain-Barré syndrome. In Utah, we have approximately 450 cases of campylobacteriosis per year. C. jejuni is a very fastidious organism. It grows best in environments with only 3 to 5% oxygen, 108 degrees Fahrenheit, and a pH of 7.3. It's usually present in really low numbers in food, and this makes it challenging to isolate from the food, which makes it difficult to identify the source of a campylobacteriosis outbreak. So by June 6th, we had 3 additional isolates for a total of 6 with matching PFGE patterns. And upon interview, it was uncovered that all 6 ill persons reported drinking Dairy A raw milk. These are the PFGE patterns of the first 6 patients' isolates, and you can see they're indistinguishable. This is a rare pattern. It was first identified in PulseNet in 2007, and there's only been a total of 78 of this pattern uploaded into PulseNet since 2007, and there's been over 15,000 patterns uploaded since then. 68 of those 78 were in Utah. So on June 10th, the Utah Department of Health started an outbreak investigation. We notified our Department of Ag about a campylobacteriosis outbreak potentially associated with Dairy A raw milk. Approximately 3% of the U.S. population drinks raw milk. For some, it's seen as more natural and thus healthier than pasteurized milk. The claimed benefits of raw milk range from everything from improving a children's immune system to curing cancer. However, there is a dark side to raw milk. It is considered one of the riskiest foods to consume. It's got bacteria like E. coli, Salmonella, Listeria, and Campylobacter. And if you get sick from raw milk, it can mean days of diarrhea, stomach cramping, and vomiting. And less commonly, it can mean kidney failure, paralysis, and even death. It's responsible for causing the vast majority of dairy-related outbreaks, and C. jejuni is one of the most common pathogens. So in Utah, our Department of Ag is responsible for issuing permits to dairies wishing to sell raw milk. The dairy is subject to monthly inspections and raw milk testing. Bacterial, coliform, and somatic cell counts must be within an acceptable range for them to maintain their permit. In addition, the dairy owner has to maintain a sales record of all customers, including their contact information. So Dairy A had approximately 300 cows, of which 17 were used for raw milk, the rest for pasteurized milk. And they sold about 300 gallons of raw milk per week. In addition, they sold 100 gallons of raw milk to one cheesemaker, all at the bargain price of $5 per gallon, and this is comparison to $10 per gallon of all of its competitors. So Dairy A's monthly coliform and somatic cell counts were within an acceptable range before the detection of the cluster in May. So our objectives for this outbreak were to determine if all the cases were part of the same outbreak, what was the source of infections, and how can we prevent additional infections. And we used a collaborative approach involving laboratory, epidemiologic, and environmental methods. In Utah, all of our Campylobacter isolates are sent to our public health lab for PFGE analysis, and they conduct this weekly, and then the results are sent to the Department of Health. For this outbreak, some environmental samples were also sent to our public health lab for PCR and culture, followed by PFGE. And same in Utah, all campylobacteriosis cases are interviewed by epidemiologists, and they gather demographic, clinical, laboratory, and risk factor information. For this investigation, our Department of Agriculture inspected Dairy A and tested raw milk samples from the bulk tank and individual cows for pathogens. For this investigation, we used the following definitions. A probable case was defined as diarrhea plus an epidemiologic link, or diarrhea and dairy A raw milk exposure. A confirmed case was defined as diarrhea caused by laboratory-confirmed C. jejuni with the PFG pattern matching the cluster pattern, or laboratory-confirmed Campylobacter with dairy A raw milk exposure. Our date of illness onset was between May 1st and December 1st of 2014, and dairy A raw milk exposure was 1 to 10 days prior to illness onset. On June 16th, dairy A was inspected and no critical violations were noted. Department of Ag tested the raw milk bulk tank samples, which were negative for Campylobacter. And again, they went back on June 20th and they found a problem with the raw milk cooling tank. It was only cooling the milk to 45 degrees Fahrenheit instead of the required 41 degrees Fahrenheit. And again, raw milk bulk tank samples were collected and were negative for Campylobacter. So dairy A fixed the raw milk cooling tank problem, but the number of cases continued to increase. This graph represents the epidemiologic curve for probable and confirmed cases, the number of cases on the y-axis, and the date of illness onset on the x-axis. By July 29th, we had identified a total of 81 cases. And on July 29th, an epidemiologist and two microbiologists accompanied our ag inspector to dairy A. Our ag inspector collected raw milk samples from the bulk tank and individual cows, and then the microbiologist measured the pH of the milk and added sodium hydroxide to achieve a neutral pH in order to preserve any Campylobacter that might be in the sample. At the same time, the dairy A owner provided our ag inspector with pre-bagged milk samples that were not neutralized. So the neutralized raw milk samples from the bulk tank were positive for C. jejuni with a matching PFGE pattern to the cluster, and the pre-bagged non-neutralized raw milk samples were negative for C. jejuni. So this highlights the fragility of C. jejuni and the importance of proper technique when you're collecting environmental samples. And because of this matching raw milk and environmental outbreak PFGE, or the case in the raw milk outbreak patterns, the Department of Ag suspended Dairy A's raw milk sales permit on August 4th. So after the permit was suspended, we noticed a significant decrease in cases, and the Department of Ag continued to test Dairy A's raw milk, and after a series of negative tests, they reinstated Dairy A's raw milk sales permit. And after that happened, we had additional cases in October and November, and this led to the Department of Ag permanently revoking Dairy A's sales permit on December 1st. So in total, we had 99 cases, with 59 confirmed and 40 probable. 53 of our cases reported consuming dairy A raw milk 1 to 10 days before their illness onset, and dairy A raw milk consumption was determined by interview or by review of the dairy A sales record. We had 18 patients who in interview denied drinking dairy A raw milk, but then were later found to be in the sales record. Of those who did not drink raw milk, 21 cases reported eating queso fresco 1 to 10 days before illness onset. Upon interviews, though, we weren't able to identify the source of the cheese. Many people couldn't remember where they bought it, and if they did, a variety of vendors were identified. But given that Dairy A sold 100 gallons of raw milk per week to one cheesemaker, it's likely that these 21 cases are related to the rest of the outbreak. We did inspect the cheesemaker's facilities, but we weren't able to gather any specific evidence. 59% of our cases were male, and 31% were Hispanic, and this is high compared to the general Utah population, where only 13% of residents report being identifying themselves as Hispanic. 43% of our cases were 18 or younger, and these are the symptoms of the cases who completed the section of the interview, the majority of cases reporting diarrhea, abdominal pain, and fever, which is consistent with campylobacteriosis. 10 of the 99 cases were hospitalized for campylobacteriosis with an age range of 2 to 69 years. 7 had queso fresco exposure and 3 had raw milk exposure. One patient, a 54-year-old male, died 1 week after illness onset of multisystem organ failure due in part to gastroenteritis. 88 cases recovered without known hospitalization or sequelae. So current routine testing of raw milk for bacterial, coliform, and somatic cell counts does not ensure its safety. In this investigation, the timely sample collection and on-site milk neutralization likely led to our C. jejuni isolation in the dairy A raw milk. The indistinguishable PFGE patterns between the cases and environmental samples allowed us to implicate dairy A raw milk as the cause of this outbreak. So in order to limit the raw milk disease burden, we should investigate more reliable testing of raw milk rather than relying solely on the bacterial, coliform, and somatic cell counts. Maybe we should consider using PFGE to aid campylobacteriosis cluster and source detection, or with whole genome sequencing, maybe that will help as well. But these patterns, matching patterns, can support the epidemiologic link and allow implementation of control measures, which can be difficult at times. And then, of course, we should continue to inform the public about the dangers inherent in drinking raw milk. As we know, the only way to eliminate these dangers is to consume pasteurized milk. And as an update, in Utah, efforts were made to improve the regulation of raw milk. But instead, this year, Utah decided to pass a cow herd share legislation, which allows people to purchase a share of a herd for the purpose of consuming the milk largely without regulation of the Department of Ag. I'd like to acknowledge the following who made this investigation successful. Thank you.
Dr. Roman, CFO, Kentucky. I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. We deal with this a lot in Kentucky. We do have a cow share process, no legal selling of milk, but people buy shares in a cow. And so we've had a number of outbreaks in the last 2 months related to that, and unfortunately we've never been able to finalize any of those outbreaks because in one case we couldn't get any positives in the milk, and so yeah. The producer said, well, it's not my milk, it's something else, even though epidemiologically that's the only place people were linked was that
absolutely
facility. Another case, we did get a positive in the milk, but the woman wouldn't it was a family, she would not divulge where she got the milk from, so we couldn't do it. The third case was a bride and groom who were getting married, and the groom's family made the meal, and the bride tested positive, but she wouldn't say where they got the milk from because she didn't want the groom's family to get in trouble. So anyway,
yep.
But I think what it highlights is our need from CSTE and our organizations to really highlight the dangers of raw milk and really make some more concerted marketing efforts, because we're seeing more and more of this, not less and less over time.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
Hi, I'm Linda Bell with South Carolina, and I'm interested in efforts associated with the queso fresco.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the raw milk is voluntarily consumed, and I think that this has been seen with the queso in other settings, mm-hmm. and that might be a risky product that's unknowingly consumed, and also with the special population, with the cultural differences. Are there any efforts to target education related to the queso?
So there's not currently, but that's certainly a good idea. We did inspect the specific cheesemakers' facilities, take environmental samples and cheese samples, but we didn't find any evidence. But educating the specific population. I mean, over 90% of those who ate the queso fresco were Hispanic, compared to our raw milk, where only 3% were Hispanic. So clearly there's an opportunity to target a population there.
Our questions. It seemed like you had a really strong EpiLink before you were able to get the positive out of the milk.
Mm-hmm.
And so is your Department of Ag limited and they can't issue a recall with a strong EpiLink like that? And then secondly, if that's the case, did you guys do any public notifications to try to sort of highlight the risk that's going on with that particular dairy?
Absolutely. So to answer your first question, the finding, the actual pattern in the milk is what allowed implementation of control measures that kind of gave that political will to make the strong statement and suspend the permit and then finally permanently revoke it. So that was a necessary piece in implementing the control measures. And a public notice was released that warned people of who consumed this milk that they might be sick and to contact their primary care provider in public health.
And did that warning come before or after the pattern?
After. Yep, so it was after everything was confirmed and matched by pattern. And I think that's what's tough is it's hard to isolate campy from any environmental samples, but because we were able to and get that pattern, we were allowed to put such strong control measures in place.
Thank you.